Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, truckie.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other truckie.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast. It is us, your two favorite hosts. I am Kelsey, and I am not sick.
And I am Carmen, and if you can't tell by my voice, I am sick. And it is, I guess it's a beautiful day for a pod. It's still a beautiful day for a podcast. It actually was a beautiful day today.
It was here as well.
Yeah, like nice sunset. We went to we went and got Marlo from school. I was up at 3:30 in the morning on 1 hour of sleep. Sick, got a migraine, came home, took a nap. We went and got Marlo from daycare, went and got Portillo's. Of course, I got hot dogs. And the sunset was just beautiful. So, but looking forward to that Florida sunshine. When you're all listening to this, I'll be in Florida probably sweating my fucking sack right through my shirt, shoes, pants, those things. Shorts.
When you're listening to this, if you listen to it on the day it comes out, I will be having my birthday because this is going to come out on August 7th, and that is my birthday.
Happy birthday to our queen.
Thank you.
How does it feel? Give us a birthday speech. Give us a 1 hour long birthday speech.
It has been 35 years since I have been born, and that means that I am now old enough to run for president.
Hell so yeah.
I would like you all to vote for me because I am just as good as everyone else who gets to have this job right now.
Well, the problem is, Kelsey, is you haven't bankrupted multiple companies and sexually assaulted enough people to be president. So
that is,
unfortunately, for that reason, I'm out.
Okay. Thank you, Sharks.
Hey, Sharks. My name is Kelsey and it's my birthday and I'm here willing to trade you all of the foreign oil access in the form of tariffs, corruption, and grab them by the pussy.
Can I just say, if I was the type of person who had themed birthday parties, I would absolutely throw myself a president-themed birthday party for my 35th birthday, and I would tell all of my friends to dress up like a former president. Preferably not any in like the 19th century, like literally only old ones, because that would be funnier to me.
Can we still just do this?
But when?
I mean, listen,
Disney on my birthday.
So should we, is it weird to celebrate your 35th birthday and my 35th birthday at the same time, but in 2 years?
I was about to say, those are pretty far apart.
No, they're like basically the same day.
It's a year and a half.
Oh man, 35.
I know.
It's crazy. Do you feel 35?
No. Every time I think about how old I am, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm 27. Like that's the age that's really where I'm like, that's just the age that I am. And it's not. It hasn't been for a long time.
8 years.
And yet I still feel like 27 is where I stopped.
I feel that. I think I look back and it'll be like, man, it genuinely feels like yesterday we were at Disney. It feels like just yesterday we were celebrating 4th of July at your house doing friendship shots with like 30 people in your pool. And
the
I'm just
pandemic
like
literally
drunk.
Made time like not a real thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like I was on the phone with Mark the other day and I was talking about someone that we had worked with getting fired. And I was like, yeah, that happened when I was, like, after I was gone. And he was like, that you weren't even pregnant when that happened. And I was like, oh, I was still there. It was before I was even pregnant and it occurred.
That's funny.
And I was like, oh, well, the pandemic broke my brain and my concept of time.
It happens, you know, it's okay. It's okay. We live, laugh, love it out, you know?
We do.
Okay, I have something.
Before we jump in, I want to shout out Rue, our new Patreon.
Hell yeah.
Rue was listening, wanted to get completely caught up on the podcast before joining Patreon, so has now gotten completely caught up, joined Patreon, is bummed that they have to wait a week in between each episodes, but is excited to be on Patreon.
I actually do. You know what? I've got two shout outs. So number one, our new Patreon who joined last week, who we didn't know how to pronounce their name. Mm-hmm. It is Christian. I was messaging her. So shout out to Christian. Also, there's a listener who just started. Her name is Marie, and she is watching for the first time, and she's only in season 6. So,
oh, that's exciting. Yeah,
so no spoilies. So excited for you to get here. She has like pictures of Chicago. So when she followed me, I was like, yo, are you like in Chicago? And no, she's not. Moral of the story. But was there any other shout outs that you had?
I just wanted to shout out Caitlin, who does all of our reaction.
An angel.
Reels.
Literally a queen angel.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give big credit because we really appreciate the work she does. And those reels be silly, and we love it.
We actually do have a new Apple review.
I'm so excited.
This is either pronounced KF Wampler or Kf Wampler.
Okay.
Which sounds like a Dr. Seuss contraption.
That's Christian.
Yes, I know. Okay. I wasn't going to... Okay. Read the room, Kelk. The title... Thank you, Christian, for this, by the way. New favorite podcast. 5 stars, obviously. The love and care and respect for each other and their dedication to their fans and desire to do the best and do the best for everyone and provide the best top-notch content is so remarkable. They're hilarious and real. They're genuine and heartfelt and care about social issues and human rights and love. I can't say enough good things about how great this is to listen to and chuckle along with. No spoilies. Thank you, Kafwampler.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate it so much.
I wanted to stop and make a joke of like, this person says the love and care and respect for each other. I was going to be like, have they listened to this podcast? But I figured I wouldn't go too far into this. So week 2, folks, we did a little bit of a Patreon cold open. We got 20 minutes in there. We're going to talk Grace here in a second, but I need to go on one teeny tiny little rant. Is that okay?
I mean, I guess you're going to do it anyways.
What the fuck is up with this Texas Hunting Wives show? Have you seen this?
I mean, I've seen the preview. I haven't watched it yet because I'm trying to finish White Lotus and then I'm going to watch it.
Okay. I don't know. First off, there's a lot of sex scenes. All for it. Big fan. Boobs all over the place. It's great. Including the hot girl from Pitch Perfect.
Haley Seinfeld?
No.
Oh.
She's got a meteorologist. Snow? Yes. Like she should be like, she missed her calling as a meteorologist. But like, I think there's it's the same problem I have with the show Euphoria. There's so much of the idolizing of like the drug consumption that I have a hard time with, especially like having kids.
Here's the thing. I haven't seen Euphoria, so I could be wrong, but I've seen clips of it and I hesitate to say that it's idolizing it.
I don't know.
When it's a story is told, and like the people are doing drugs and then like terrible, horrible things happen to them, the story is kind of like, that's a negative consequence.
I guess.
So
I guess
it's not
a fair
really
point.
Idolizing it. Is it showing it? Yes. Is that something that happens in life? Yes. Sometimes people do drugs and nothing bad happens. And that is also happens in life, and that's insane.
Yeah.
But I would say, I mean, again, I will watch Hunting Wives and I'll get back with you. Are you watching this show?
Jess is watching the show, and I watched one of the episodes with her, and I was actually like kind of triggered, actually. I was like, I can't watch this show anymore. Like, I'm not going to tell you what scene it was when you watch it, go through it. But there was one scene where I'm just like, it's the cheating. It's the drug use. It's the, like, that's just, I don't like watching that. And I think you bring up a really good point that I haven't thought of, because it's not like nothing bad happens to these people. Like, clearly bad things are happening. So I definitely see where you're coming from, actually. Like, this has been a little helpful, but yeah. I'm not going to watch it. I was like, Jess, you can keep watching it. I can't be in the room when you
watch this. There are definitely shows where I'm like, I don't think I'll watch a Euphoria, because I do think it will be.
It makes you so scared for your kids.
Well, that, but it's also like, I have had people close in my life that have like battled with different addictions on and off. And it's like having the reality of that, I don't really need to like watch it to that extent. Like, I've seen it obviously in shows where that's like a side plot, but Euphoria, from everything I've heard, it feels like it's so like centric to the main plot and characters. I'm like, that might be too much. It is interesting that you mentioned the cheating, because that is a pretty heavy theme in Grey's.
And I never like it.
I mean, I know you don't like it, but
I think it's there's still some comedic undertones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil it for you. I want you to just watch it. But
yeah,
there's one episode specifically that we were watching, and I don't know the context at all.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of just came in and I was sitting in bed watching this with Jess. But like, I really was just not a fan of it. So I asked Jess to stop watching it, at least with me in the room. I was watch this. But she also watched all of 13 Reasons Why. And I cannot do that.
I also watched all of 13 Reasons Why. It was before I had kids that I watched it. So I don't know that I also definitely wouldn't watch it again, because there's just like a lot of issues with that show and like the story that's being told and the way they chose to tell it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing with White Lotus that's interesting to me is there are a lot of unlikable bad people in the, and like, they just get away with everything. At least in the first two seasons, I was like, but then I was like, I was mad about it. So I was talking to Ryan, Leah, shout out. They also
shout out.
And I was like, I'm going to keep watching the show, but like, the finales keep pissing me off. Like, I'm like mad at the story, quote unquote, wrap up. But I'm also like, this feels very true to life, because it's like hyper wealthy people doing terrible things and just no consequences. And I'm like, well, that is kind of accurate to society currently. And then like marginalized people, or just like people who aren't wealthy, like just like being sucked into that world and then having really life-changingly negative consequences. And I'm like, I actually really hate this, but the show overall is so good that I'm like, I am gonna keep watching it, but like, it's fucking insane.
I'm sorry, hold on, I think I missed what show.
White Lotus.
Yeah.
I should be finishing the third season in the next couple of days, because I only have two episodes left, I think. And then I'm going to move on to The Hunting Wives.
Well, good luck. Buckle up. Let's talk Grey's.
Yeah. Okay. This is episode 12 of the ninth season. It is episode 184 overall, and it is called Walking on a Dream, and that is a song.
Walking on a Dream is a song, in fact, by the Australians from Down Under, Empire of the Sun, released on August 30th, 2008, and it is from their debut album, Empire of the Sun, self-titled Empire of the Sun, written by Luke Steele and Nick Littlemore, and credits to Jonathan Donny. Mark Sloan. I threw the Mark in there, but his name is Sloan at the end. This song, so I know this song. I don't think I ever realized that was the name of the song. I just kind of hear it in pop music, pop like in movies or TV shows. It's just okay. I think I'm going to, you know, it didn't make it to my iTunes library, but it did pretty well globally. So it cracked the top 100 in Australia, Belgium, France, Germany, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Scotland, Sweden, Switzerland, and the UK. It did hit as high as number 65 on the US Billboard Hot 100 as well. So pretty good song. I'd say objectively, probably like a 3.2. Subjectively, for my opinion, I'm going to give like a 2.8. So it's a good song. It's not too bad. Just didn't make it to my library.
By the cover art on this album.
Yeah. I actually thought it was for a musical.
That I was like, is this from a show or a film or something
based
on this? And I almost listened to it, but then I was like, no. I want
It's giving first. What's his name? The guy who's dead. Under pressure. David Bowie.
I was like, so many people.
You know who's not though?
Me.
No, it was
that other guy.
The other guy.
Yeah.
Making a bad joke. I saw a meme that was like, can someone just do the thing on a Friday so we can party the whole weekend?
Do the thing.
And it's funny, like everyone knows exactly what we're talking about, which is hilarious. Not that we're condoning that. We do not condone violence on this podcast, but sometimes things suck. So.
Oh, that's so true. Okay. But notes, where's my notes go? Okay. This episode was written by Tia Napolitano, which feels Italian.
Feels Italian. Yeah.
And directed by Rob Hardy. Now, this is the first episode for both of those, but they do both return for other episodes.
Love it.
And Tia also wrote and produced multiple episodes of Scandal. So,
we're going to give her some Living in Shondaland credit on that one.
Uh-huh. And this episode aired January 24th. On the fjords. This episode aired January 24th, 2013. To 9.01 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is, a new doctor at Seattle Grace puts others on edge. Arizona struggles with phantom limb pain. Meredith is faced with her worst fear. I do feel like that's mostly pretty accurate.
Yeah, and for those of you who are trying to remember, just to wear a very quick synopsis, we've got the brother sister combo who Derek's doing his first surgery from
23 fucking hours.
Yeah, crazy. They really gave him a softball surgery coming back from his leave. A lot of the dream sequences with Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona's having the phantom limb pain. The hospital is making moves to shave money off, right? Because they're gonna go bankrupt if they don't. And so they hire Alana Cahill, a physician advisor, to come in and be super judgmental and annoying. And Meredith gets on an airplane.
And Shane botches a kidney surgery.
Shane is doing a lot in this episode. Shane's having a rough go. Yeah.
Yeah. And Weber also is like... Weber's in a weird spot because apparently this girl, man, what is her vibe? I don't know.
She was rude as hell to Weber specifically.
As hell. And also there's a reaction video that I did on this one. So this was a fun one to watch reacting. So full disclosure, when that opening scene where Arizona's running, I was like, damn, technology and prosthetics has come so far.
So fast. In 2013. Wow.
And then I was like, oh, wait, no, it's a dream sequence. Like, this is not real.
Yeah.
So I felt like a little bit of an idiot.
I remembered the first one was a dream sequence, but I like thought that it was the only dream sequence in the episode. So when they did the second one, I was like, oh, God, because I really forgot about it.
And that one's pretty jarring.
It's like, really upsetting.
Straight out of a Saw movie.
Okay, so for the Phantom Limb storyline, I gotta say, I will give credit where credit is due. This is a good Owen episode.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing I
don't like is the introduction of Cahill. Because she sucks ass, and he did bring her, but I think actually, if I had to guess, it was probably at the board's behest.
Yes.
So I cannot fully blame him. And he is visibly annoyed by her constantly. So I'm like, okay, at least you are on the right side of that. But I do really think he does a good job understanding Arizona's situation, respecting it, and also like wanting to work to help her. And that makes sense because, you know, I would imagine this is a pretty common thing with that he would have seen in like veterans that he worked with.
Yeah.
So it tracks for me that he would be like very supportive of this. And he is. And I will give credit when it's due. And I think it's a good Owen episode because he doesn't talk to Christina at all.
Wow.
Probably
yeah.
a big reason that it's a good Owen episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're I hear you saying is Christina's the problem.
No. Owen's okay. the problem.
Yeah, I know.
He
I
only interacts
sure.
with like two people. And he's not trying to force either of them to have his baby.
Or marry him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or divorce him.
Yeah, it's so it is interesting. Interesting choice to introduce. I know I'm kind of like going back and forth on the storyline. Interesting to introduce her, but then say, oh, plot twist, she's not here yet. I want you to know that I thought that this was going to be like, she's not, like, they talk about it, but they never show her. Like, oh, yeah, the efficiency person was just in surgery with me. Oh,
it's
what a,
just
what a
like
hard ass.
She had like a shoe walking out of a door.
Yeah. Like,
or they're going to like have a Jane Doe from a car crash rolling into drama a la 007.
Yeah. It's like the mom coming home from the book Cat in the Hat. It's you just see her feet and her hand in the door.
Right, nothing
else.
I just saw your wife walk by upstairs. I love her so much.
Oh, did you? Yeah, she's pretty cool. So Eli's flying with us tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many pairs of shoes this boy brought for Florida?
God, how many?
Zero. You know what he has? Work boots. He just has work boots. The boy needs to buy shoes when we get to Disney World.
Where?
Like, we got to go to a Target and get this boy fucking shoes.
Is that why you were at Target earlier?
Actually, that would have been a good idea. No. Why did we not think of that? We were actually getting Marlo a little prize. We've started a star prize routine for having good bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she won a little Elsa doll. It's like a little $10 Elsa doll, and Jess is like, "All right, every 5 stars," and I'm like, "Jess, we gotta stretch this out a little bit more. Maybe every 6 stars, every 7 stars. This is getting like we gotta throw a couple dollar spot items in this too."
Yeah,
and she's like, "It'll go away sometime, just like the potty treats." And I'm like, "Okay." Marlo still asks for the fucking potty treats.
Yeah, she didn't ask for potty treats as much when she was here because I think she just associated less that. She would get them because it was not her house. It was my house.
Right.
Because it wasn't like she was asking them and I was going, no. Like, if she asked, I was like, okay. And if she didn't, I was like, also okay.
Oh,
okay,
goodness.
So Arizona has phantom limb pain. What are your, like, what were your thoughts watching this on? Like, is this something that you've thought of before? Has it not really crossed your mind?
I've seen it.
I was going to say, have you seen it in other media?
Yeah, I've seen it in other media. I've seen it in other like war movies, especially.
Yeah.
So like it makes sense that Owen kind of is the voice of reason, like hand reaching out to Arizona in this scenario. I like that a lot. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. So it goes from the mirror to the like the beach, like AI.
The visualizing.
VR thing. To the end, she's like, I just need someone to stab my fucking prosthetic foot so I know it's not there.
Yeah.
It gave big Talladega Nights vibes, but,
but different, because it was different. Better.
Well, I respectfully disagree with your incorrect opinion.
I hate you so much.
Talladega Nights is one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah, but it's just like, they're mocking things versus like a genuine dramatic portrayal.
That doesn't make it better. It makes it different.
I think it makes it better because they're not making fun of it.
So are you calling Weird Al Yankovic not a real musician?
I didn't say that Talladega Nights wasn't a real movie. So what your comparison is bad and wrong.
Everyone, Kelsey is saying that she hates women.
You wish. You wish I was saying that.
But it was pretty intense. I will say, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about Alex in this episode. That was a little bit hard to read. Is he actually like caring about her? Is he caring about the program? Is he like being a dick? I really can't tell
He was caring about her and caring about the program. My main issue with this storyline is like everyone keeps saying like what's going on and no one is saying what it is. Like they're all doctors. Yeah. Everyone would understand. Like I understood her point when she was like, I don't want to tell Callie because I've been like, she's been taking care of me and I want to like a relationship to fall back into like wife and not doctor patient anymore, which I understand and respect, honestly. It would be frustrating for both people, I'm sure. But like, I don't understand why she's not telling everyone else that she's working with. And not that like she has to owe them like, oh, I'm going through this like very challenging thing. But like in a surgery where like a child's life is at stake, it does feel fair to express like, this is the situation that's happening. Like I've been experiencing these pains, so I might need to step away or like move or do something.
Yeah.
And like fucking honestly, Cahill can kick rocks. I actually don't give a shit if she thinks Arizona's insane or not. Like it's fine. Yeah. It's not your fucking business. But like with Alex and Christina specifically, like because they're working so closely with her and doing like a very intense surgery, I don't understand the like why we're not sharing the situation.
Yeah, it is weird. Why they were left in the dark didn't make sense. And then why no one even asked, like, yo, other than Owen, no one else was like, yo, dude, that phantom limb pain, huh? It's crazy.
Well, yeah. And I'm like, I have to wonder if just because when now, and again, like, I can't really say that I remember this like super vividly happening when it happened, but like, I think maybe they're portraying it as like, oh, this is like an insane person. And so if they're trying to say there's like a negative stigma around it because it's like a mental issue, but A, I mean, it is a mental issue, and B, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I also like am medicated for mental problems. But like just in general, I wonder if because it's more of like your brain associations, and because Arizona keeps being like, oh, I'm crazy, like I'm insane, like that there's not anything there, how can I feel something there, like I'm crazy, like some blah blah blah, something's wrong with me. I wonder if it's supposed to be that she's like embarrassed because it's like a mental hurdle that she's having to get over. Like that's truly the only thing I can think of as like why they wouldn't be sharing it, because to me it seems like it would be a pretty common problem and like very understood and like empathized with by doctors. So that's like just me trying to make a connection. I'm not saying that that's is what they're doing or that that's good. It's also just one of those things where I'm like, you know, mental health, like conversation around mental health has changed so much in like not even that long of a time. So to go back 12 years, like I definitely feel like there is a difference in the way it's discussed and talked about. So maybe that's like supposed to be the reason. I really can't say for sure.
Yeah, and that's a good point, like, because I don't know what the writers were trying to portray in that moment, but let's talk about that second dream sequence for a second. So yikes. The way that Alex and Christina act,
dead like eyes,
zombie robots. It's
terrifying.
Like,
I hate it.
It is terrifying.
I mean, it was very like if you have a really unsettling dream, like that is an aspect that just adds on top of it. So I think it does a good job of being a nightmare. But yeah, it's horrendously unsettling. Like, I despised it. I was like, I don't want to be looking at this. And the noise it was making, like, when she was cutting.
Yeah.
Was like, and then she opens her pants leg, and there's just, like, multiple gashes, and she's just sawing at her. I'm like, I would love to not be watching this anymore.
Yeah, I think at one point when I was doing the reaction video, I'm like, please don't share that another time.
Yeah.
However many times you've shared it is more than enough.
Yeah, we're good right now.
Yeah. But it's funny too. So like as Owen's going through and Arizona's obviously trying to rush things, right? She's like, there's doing the VR thing and it's at the beach and she's like, this isn't working. Do you have anything else? And Owen said, well, we could do a spinal surgery.
But, deaden your nerves.
Yeah.
Casually.
But that would throw off your day to day. So
yeah, it might make your job hard. Well, the surgery they're doing is on someone with the Africa program. So we do get some clarification that that other shitty guy was trying to send it, pawn it off to UCLA, and they were able to save it and get it back to Seattle Grace. So that's good.
I don't think I made that connection.
Yeah, because they said, like, oh, we were so nervous that, like, when we heard the program was going to be moving to UCLA, and then Arizona's like, well, I was gone, but now I'm not. And Alex is like, yeah, we weren't going to let that happen, so.
Yeah, bitches, we keeping this shit here. We run this.
And then, you know, Christina's like, oh, they're going to cut your program because it just costs so much money to fly these kids over from Africa, and, like, you're not doing anything, like, for the hospital. So she's, like, making Alex all nervous. And then it obviously ends up not being the case.
Yeah, I mean, she basically says this is a PR goldmine, even yeah. though that scene with Owen, they're like, yeah, like this doesn't grow the endowment, dude.
Yeah, it's like, really confusing. I'm like, okay, so why were you asking these questions then?
Yes,
like, what was the point? Like, it's one thing if you're like, hey, just give me the numbers so that I like have all the information. But then they're like framing it like, oh, we're going to fucking get rid of this shit.
Yeah, it was very confusing, but I'm glad there's resolution. They're big fans, and you know, she's got another cut up her sleeve, but it's all in the name of capitalism. And speaking of the name of capitalism, mm-hmm. we must pay homage to our capitalism gods. So take it away, capitalism gods.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
And we are back. Thank you.
All hail the capitalistic nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the second part, like the other big bomb that, what's her name?
Cahill.
First name, Alana?
Alana. Do you mean at the end when she's like, we should close the ER?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just like a main thing at this hospital. Now, it is. This is a problem with healthcare in America. If you are listening to this and you live in a country with universal healthcare, I'm very happy for you because
never leave.
It's not this one. But the whole like, and I've seen this in other like medical shows, and I'm sure you have as well, where they're saying like, oh, like a lot of the people that come to the ER are just like uninsured or underinsured people who like don't have a PCP and like should just be at like an urgent care or something, but they come here, blah, blah, all this stuff. So it's just like a waste of everyone's time. And I'm like, well, respectfully, it doesn't matter because right. like, you should be still able to take care of them because you're a doctor. And it's nice to help people. But I understand that like
do no harm or some shit.
I mean, again, I don't think that most practicing doctors feel the way that she feels. Like, I don't want it to conflate like people who go to medical school and practice medicine with this woman who is like being a problem, because I do think that like there are constraints put on doctors like by like, yes, your job needs to make you money. Like anybody's job needs to make the money. That's why you have a job. So there are like extenuating circumstances around the way that like insurance and hospitals and billing and all that stuff is done that do make it difficult, because I do truly think people who go to medical school and like do all that schooling and do all the training outside of medical school like want to help people. I don't think anyone just does like that much schooling just because they're like, oh, I can make a lot of money. I do think there has to be some amount of actually caring and wanting to help people to get through that successfully. So I don't want it to sound like I'm saying like, oh, doctors are selfish bastards, because I don't think that. I just think the system sets it up that it's going to like change the way that they like have to treat people in order to like successfully have their job make them money.
Yeah. I don't know that she's a practicing doctor.
No, I think she's that's not be the, practicing.
Oh, okay. I thought that was going to be the twist. Like, I mean, she's not actually doing medicine anymore, or like she burned out.
Well, this
a long
is
time
her
ago,
job.
This is, but like,
what she's doing is her job. So, like, yeah, she went to medical school. She was trained. Like, Richard trained her as a surgeon, but like, this is what she does now.
Right, but I was my thought was that there's like a big bad thing that she had done and she quit, but that Weber doesn't know about. And that's why she's avoiding him.
I mean, maybe. We'll
I don't know.
I also don't know.
Yes, you do. Yeah. So that scene in the end, when they're talking about getting rid of the ER, and basically they're like, what the fuck? Like, we're a level one.
Yeah.
Trauma center, woman. We are a top 15 maybe hospital.
Maybe
the rankings haven't been brought up in a while, but when Bailey goes at Derek,
I love Miranda Bailey. I just did not like that.
That was a bit of a rough scene.
I am like, well, I will say this. One of my biggest pet peeves in general in a workplace, or really in life, is when someone is like constantly complaining about something, but they have no like solution to offer. And I'm not saying like if you have a complaint, you have to have the solution. But I feel like bringing something to the table that can be like talked through, or like that just bouncing ideas around, so just kind of have a starting point. But just constantly coming with complaints is one of my biggest pet peeves.
Absolutely.
So I understand, like, when she's like, do you have a better idea? To Derek, when Miranda says, do you have a better idea? Because, like, she's trying to help us keep the hospital. Honestly, everything she says up until the rest of us don't have a couple million to fall back on is valid. That last
For
comment
sure.
is just unnecessary and, like, pointing blame. And, like, well, respectfully, like, these people almost died. Two people did die. These people are horrendously traumatized for the rest of their life because of this situation. And like, to make it some flippant remark as though they're like suing the hospital into bankruptcy because they like stubbed their toe or something, it just really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, it's interesting the writing that they created for this scene, and like the like why they made Bailey be the one to.
That's my other thing, is I'm like, why is she the one delivering this?
And she says, like, if the ER closes, like, we need jobs and not all of us have the millions to fall back on, Bailey, you're Bailey. You're going to get a job.
That's like, I think I'm like, most of these attendings probably do have at least some amount of money to fall back on.
Yeah. And if, like, worst case scenario, they get, like, if they closed it down and they had to cut Bailey, she's going to go to freaking California or wherever Ben's doing his program at.
That's probably true.
You know,
she gets,
like,
to be with her husband.
And, like, just bone all
worst
fucking
things
day long.
Have happened.
Yeah. A guy blew up because of a bazooka that was inside of another man's asshole. Like, it happens.
Interesting.
So yeah, that was a bit of a bummer of a, and the way Derek's like face, just,
well,
like,
all of them, like Arizona,
it was so uncomfortable,
Derek,
for everyone.
Meredith, Cal, like, yeah. And even the people who, like, weren't in the plane, that it shows, I'm like, they're also uncomfortable. It's not like they're smile. Like, you know, when someone makes a comment and, like, everyone agrees, so they, like, smile at the ground. It wasn't like that. Like, it didn't seem like everyone agreed. Like,
no,
it's just
it was,
not, it's not a fair blame.
I also, the part that I have a problem with, this like TV tropey kind of thing. Every single person who got the $15 million. Mm-hmm. Would give it all back to have Mark and Lexi alive.
Yes.
To give it all back for Arizona to not have lost her leg.
Yeah.
To give it all back for Derek to not have almost lost the ability to do surgery. Like,
yes.
All of these things, they would give
they
the money back.
They value more than that money.
Yeah. So that's the thing that I have a hard time with some of these accidents or these lawsuits, is the money's great. Like, you know,
like, you do deserve some compensation, but also, like, that compensation can only go so far because it's not bringing back your loved one.
Yeah. Like, Jess and I have term life insurance policies, but I know I hope to never get that check.
Yeah. Yes.
I hope I never have to get that check.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they should have had April do it. At least people already don't like April for some reason, you know?
Well, April, I'm like, my thing is, I try and think, I'm like, okay, who would say this? I'm like, honestly,
I don't know that anyone would say it.
That's my thing, is I'm like, I don't think anyone would. Maybe like season 1, 2, 3 Alex, but not right now, Alex. That's why I'm like, do we need to, like, make this comment at all? Because it feels like it's out of character for anyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a bizarre, like, I don't like that she said it. I wouldn't have liked it if anyone had said it. So I don't know. It's just a weird moment. Like, yeah, it made everyone uncomfortable. Not just Derek. Like, you know, and I love you guys. I love it when Derek gets called out on his bullshit.
For sure.
Love it.
For sure. Everyone knows.
So for me to be like, maybe we shouldn't have done that, I'm like, it has to be pretty legit. So I don't know. It was just not for me in that way.
It also makes a sad scene later on, because the scene where Derek and Meredith are, like, congratulating each other about the flying and doing the surgery, it mm-hmm. starts with them being like, well, they blame us. Like, I understand, or it kind of sucks, or, like, I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And also, can we just take a moment to say how good Meredith looks in the flannel?
Yeah, she does.
Big ol' fan.
But yeah, I think it was interesting to me that they have, Meredith is really upset and Derek is like, I understand, like, they blame us. Like, it is interesting to me to portray him as, like, basically seeing both sides, which I kind of, like, it does track with, like, cause he was blaming Owen and now he's, like, not. So I guess it's, like, kind of two sides of the same coin in that way. But, like, it's just, it is a bummer, and it does kind of, like, overshadow their victories for the day. Like, Derek successfully a 23-hour surgery. I want to say pre-hand, that would still be a pretty big surgery accomplishment. But now, like, post multiple surgeries, and, like, for this to be his first one back, it's, like, a huge deal. And then Meredith getting on a plane, like, respectfully, bigger deal than the surgery, in my opinion. Any of them getting on a plane, to me, as someone who's already an anxious flyer, like, getting on a plane again is a huge, especially, like, to me, it would be more difficult to get on the kind of plane. If she was just getting on, like, a traditional like passenger plane the commercial airline, I feel like that would be an easier first step than getting back on a charter jet, which is what she was on that crash. Do you know what I mean? So to
yeah.
just like, I mean, I props to her, but like I could never. I truly feel like if I was in a plane crash, I don't know that I would ever fly again.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point. Yeah, I guess, oh man, I don't know. That's tough. That's a tough one for me.
I mean, they had Christina do it and they were like, oh, she drank, you know, like a full bottle of tequila before she did it. Like, that's kind of how she psyched herself into it, which like tracks for me. I self-medicate with different things before I fly as well. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I understand why Bailey's upset, but it was rude what she said.
Yeah.
Is the moral of the story.
What's funny about Bailey is she kind of gives Meredith the pep talk that yeah. even when Meredith was like, I can't, and she walks away and Bailey's like, all right, Shane, you and I are getting on the plane, whatever, dude. But it works and Meredith gets on the plane. So you have one side where Bailey is kind of walking Meredith hand in hand to overcome her fear. And then the yeah. other hand where she disses Derek and the entire crew for surviving.
Yeah, something that they did not ask for.
Didn't ask for. So yeah, it's an interesting. Oh man, it is. It's two totally different worlds, though. It's a physical healing and an emotional healing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you have to wonder which. Not one is more important than the other, but they're both very tough. But I think he didn't lose his hand. He still had his hand.
Yeah,
not being able to fly like makes your world so small. Which is an interesting thing. So,
yeah.
But anyways, anything else to talk about with Alana Cahill, Scorpion woman from the buttholes of Earth?
I don't. It hurts me because, you know, from our time at Disney, that efficiency is one of my favorite things.
Oh, absolutely.
I love to streamline an operation. I love to make good use of our time, people. I love it. So I was like, man, this woman's given efficiency a bad name. Really hurt.
Well, she's doing efficiency in the name of budget cuts, not necessarily
yeah.
like process
service,
like creating improvements or like removing right. dead motion, things like that, you
yeah.
know? Also, we totally glossed over the fact the last thing she says in the episode is like a dig at Weber of like,
she's really rude to him.
She's so rude.
I'm like, here's my thing with what she's doing. She is taking the most like shallow information with absolutely no backstory, right? So like with the she's at the end of the episode, she's like to Dr. Weber, she goes, you logged less hours in the OR than any other attending last month. Okay, maybe because his wife just died, do you want to like ask some fact-finding questions before you jump to conclusions? Did you look at these several months before that? Because that's probably not the case.
Yeah. And also,
like, are you going to say that to fucking Derek? Oh, you logged so few hours last month. Is that because your hand was not functional? How dare you?
Yeah. Or Arizona, you haven't logged hours. That's so crazy. Can you not stand, you punk bitch? Like,
yeah, she's like, that's my thing is, I'm like, you can have this information if you're gathering all the facts, but then gather all the facts.
Yeah, don't out your
pick and choose what facts you want to take into consideration.
Yeah, what is this fucking never mind. Remember the jump to conclusions, Matt, with in the movie Office Space?
I don't love that movie.
No, oh boy. Okay.
I know. I'm
to Jennifer
there's
Aniston.
Certain movies that I don't tell people that I don't love because they get very mad. This is one of them.
What's another movie? What's another movie that you...
Any movie that starts with National Lampoon. I don't like it.
Okay. That's fair. There's a lot of National Lampoon movies that I've not even seen.
Yeah. I also don't like Christmas Story.
Christmas Story is...
The one with the lamp leg. Where he gets his tongue stuck to the light pole.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Mm.
I also don't like Miracle on 34th Street. Wait,
the original one or the new one?
No, I
like the new
do
one.
Like
I actually
Miracle
like
on
them 34th both.
Street. Which one am I thinking? There's some Christmas movie that are a little bit boring.
Yeah.
Minus the racist blackface scene. Holiday Inn is great.
I don't like Wonderful Life.
Wonderful Life. That's the one that I don't like. The Miracle on 34th Street is with the Macy's Santa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a Wonderful Life I don't like.
Yeah. And that's a hot take from us, but we're right. So.
Yeah, I would defend that till death. What's another, you know, I know that this is going to be probably stirring up a lot of feelings, but until very recently, I actually thought Sandra Bullock was very overrated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've grown
what
to like her.
What changed your mind?
The was movie, The film? Heat. The Heat.
Mm.
I think the
I
first
don't know what that movie that is.
I think it's Melissa McCarthy and their cops.
Yes. Have you seen Miss Congeniality?
I have. Overrated.
Have you seen Blindside?
Yes.
That for me, I was like, good. This is one of the top, but I'm a sucker for a football movie.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, she's just so hot in that movie. It's insane. Trying to think who else. I watched Happy Gilmore too the other day.
Oh, was how? What did you think of that?
Love I didn't it. So watch good. It.
I'm
it
not. Is, that's another. Like, I'm not a big fan of a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
That's fair. I'm a big fan of the campy nostalgia and the fan service. Mm-hmm. And that whole movie was campy nostalgia fan service.
Now Travis Kelce is in it, which does make me want to watch it more than if he wasn't in it, but not enough for me to have watched it yet. But Michael really wants to watch it because he loves Happy Gilmore because he's a big golf guy. So I might watch it with him, but I might just be like, have at it. I don't give a shit.
If this intrigues you a little bit, he's a bad guy in the movie.
Oh, I am intrigued by that.
Yeah.
I kind of thought he was just in it for like 10 minutes.
He is, but he's a bad guy.
Okay. I know.
Bad Bunny's in it.
A waiter. Yeah, there's a lot of big cameos in it. A
lot of big cameos.
Yeah.
Okay, what else should we talk about with Grays before we devolve into all the
other movies we like and don't like?
Yeah.
Okay, Cahill, we were talking about. Okay.
Yeah, she sucks.
Let's talk about the beginning. I honestly, this is a smart move, though, when she goes to the ER before she tells anyone who she is to see how long it takes to get treatment. I'm like, this is a good move. This is how you get information. But again, let's get all the information. And I do want to point out that she says in that meeting when she wants to close the ER that it has gone from it being in shambles to running at peak efficiency. And there is absolutely no difference to the overall operation. I'm like, yeah, that is a bad look. But at the same point, I'm like, but you're like also saving lives. So like, shouldn't that not matter? That's what I'm saying. And like in this country, the way that we've set up like the payment system for medical needs, like subjects it to these kinds of like situations. And that's the bummer because I'm like, you're saving lives. There are people coming into the ER who like would die if they were not brought to that ER and saved. But like that gets overshadowed because they're like, well, you know, they don't have insurance. Well, okay. That doesn't mean they should die.
We saved their life, but it costs us $20,000 to do it. Okay.
Sorry. Don't you have losses built into your budget like every other functioning business?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane.
It's smart.
It's undercover boss that shit.
I hate it. And then I do also have to shout out when Owen's like, "Oh, I was going to introduce her, but she's late." And Christina goes, "On her first day? Not very efficient." I'm like, me.
That is funny. But we find out, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
She was in the ER.
Yeah, she was in the ER. And I also thought it was funny when she was like, 45 minutes before a doctor brings out a stethoscope, I would likely be experiencing shortness of life. that's a sick burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
She's got like a face that I feel like I recognize. Is she in something?
Maybe
Can you do a quick IMDb for me? Or maybe you could do it in between episodes.
Yeah, I'll do it in between. I don't remember her being in anything, because normally when I see people, I like note, I'm like, oh, Carmen would recognize this person from that. I don't remember, but there were a lot in this episode, so I could just not be remembering.
What do we have, like 20 living in Shondalands? Don't tell me. Surprise me.
I will surprise you. You'll be surprised.
I'll be surprised. If it's none, though, ooh, do dirty rap. Speaking of rats, you know the Super Kitty, the Super Kitty soundtrack?
No, I don't.
There's one of the characters named Lab Rat has this song called I'm a Genius, and it's like actually a banger.
I know that you don't like country music, but have you heard the song Earl Had to Die? Or Goodbye, no. Earl, rather.
No.
Okay. Well, it's a fucking banger from the Chicks, previously known as Dixie Chicks, and it was released in 1999. So this is like, I hardcore grew up on this song. And it is about two best friends from high school. It is a storytelling masterpiece. Two best friends from high school, Marion and Wanda, were the best of friends all through their high school days. Okay, so they graduate, and one of them leaves, and the other one stays in town. Wanda stays in town, and marries
Earl. Spoil this for me. I'm going to listen to it in between episodes.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to it.
Okay, well, we're going to circle back and finish this conversation, because I don't want to tell you what happened. I'll tell you after you listen to it.
Okay, okay.
Because this is fucking... You're not going to like it because it's country, but you'll like the storytelling aspect, but you won't like the way it sounds.
Also, was Dixie Chicks removed? Was Dixie removed because it was, like, racist? Did they,
historically offensive, yes.
Okay. Were Dixie Chicks people who lynched people? Did they do the lynchings?
I don't think so. I think just the term Dixie refers to like an not ideal part of Southern history.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong.
No, but I would know better than I.
Which is, anyways, but when, so we'll listen to that song and we'll circle back and I'll finish this story afterwards.
Okay. Well, we can very quickly talk about the ER thing. So April is using basically this entire storyline to get Steph into like ER beast mode.
Yes. And she is a great teacher. Like props to April and props to Stephanie, especially also because Jackson told April that he's sleeping with Stephanie. And so she does not let that affect her in any way. And I want to shout that out because...
Wait, does he say Stephanie?
Yeah, I think
Last episode, I don't think he says Stephanie. I think he says he's seeing someone. I'm 98%
positive he said it was Stephanie.
No, I think I would have had a bigger reaction to that.
No, I'm pretty sure he did.
Are you pulling up the receipts for it?
Yeah, I am.
I'm like fairly... I'm like 99% positive in the other way. I think he says he's seeing someone. And he says, just thought you should know.
Jackson tells April he's sleeping with Stephanie and wanted to tell her himself.
Are you sure?
Yes.
What's the quote?
Well, I don't have the quote. I have the in-depth summary.
No. Don't look at the summary. I think that's AI. I think AI is screwing it up.
It's not AI. I'm not on an AI situation. I'm on a person written summary.
Would you even know if you were on an AI situation? No, yes, you wouldn't.
I hate AI so fucking much. Okay, I'll pull up the goddamn receipts. Fuck you.
Goodbye Earl pulled up. So when we're done here, I'm going to listen to it. I sent you the song. I'm a Genius. Anyone out there, go to Super Kitties on Apple Music and go down to the middle of the page. I'm a Genius. Thank me fucking later, dog.
Do you have... like a favorite villain song? Is it this one?
No.
Yeah. Jackson, hey. April, hi. Jackson, I am kind of sleeping with Stephanie.
Okay, all right, you win. You're right.
I know. Well, yeah.
I
just like don't need to be told because I knew the whole time that I was right. But I thank you for saying it.
Okay, remember that time where you're like, the kid's name isn't Tuck, blah, 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 blah. You're a fucking moron. So how about you back off my fucking dick sack?
That was crazy.
Okay?
Why would Tuck be a nickname for William? I'm not over that. But I have that question for a lot of nicknames. Like, why is Peggy a nickname for freaking
Alexandra?
Margaret. It's Margaret. Oh. Peggy's a nickname for Margaret.
Why is Dick
a nickname for Richard? I just don't know.
Why is Dick a nickname?
Will never be answered.
Yeah.
And why would you choose to go by that?
Yeah. It's a four-year-old boy who never grew up.
Yeah, I don't know.
What up, Dick? Yo.
Okay. Anything else with the ER? Okay, right, sorry. So April is being professional and not letting her feelings for Jackson interfere with the way that she looks at Stephanie, thinks about Stephanie, teaches Stephanie. I love that. I appreciate that. Shout out to April.
This changes my entire perspective, knowing now that Jackson said it was Stephanie. I did not remember that part, and I glossed over that. So,
yeah.
Very cool, April. And then April, like, the paramedic guy, he's, like, trying to, like, grab her hair from behind and do, like, naughty things to her body.
Okay,
well. They're trying to smush.
Do you think that is the case?
That's my story for him. That's my fanfic for them.
Okay, and, so what do you think? If April were to move into a new relationship with anybody,
yeah,
what do you think her views on sex are going to be?
I think it'd be first person because she'd be looking down at it.
She's looking, so she's on top.
That's her view.
Mm-hmm. So first she's person. Not on. So she's not missionary.
I think that she would still. I think she would try to wait until marriage again. If I had to guess.
Do you think she would succeed?
I think that she would
succeed. She didn't last time.
Yeah. It's true. But it was like the tests, the boards, right? It was before that.
No, it was the boards.
It was the boards. Okay.
Yeah.
No, didn't they have sex before? Or was it was in the bathroom?
It was the night before because she punched that guy in the face. That's right.
Yes, 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 yes. I remember now. Okay. See, Kelsey? You are right.
Yeah.
For once in your fucking life.
Oh my God. We have so much proof of me being right.
Same. Listen to all my predictions.
Hey! Everything's great.
You can't tell, but Kelsey was smiling at me because she loves our friendship. She values it highly.
I'm so toxic.
Yeah. Let's, is there anything else with that storyline? Toxic friend.
Okay,
do you have an inner tube behind you right now? Why do you have an inner tube behind you?
Because we walked down to the pool the other day and I took the wagon. It's in a wagon.
Are you ever gonna mail me my house keys? I would like my house keys.
It's a single key. Don't be dramatic. It's a house key.
Yeah, but it's on my lanyard. Can I have it? Can I have it back, please?
Yeah, you can have it back. You should stop by on my birthday.
Oh, I'll give it to you. At least I'll be in that hemisphere. I'll be below the Mason-Dixon line.
I think we're already in the same hemisphere. We're just not in the same part of the country.
You know, I'm going to be in Atlanta in January.
Oh yeah, Mark told me.
Yeah.
And we were going to brainstorm things
that
were fun so that Jessica should come down on Friday and Leah would come down on Friday and we would all come down on Friday and then spend the weekend. And
then
you guys
just
not leave until Sunday. Like leave late Sunday.
We would just stay a couple days. Like, why don't we just do a couple days in Atlanta?
That's what I'm saying. That's what we were chit-chatting.
Yeah. I mean, we're all in the same. We're all saying the same thing. Cool, cool, cool. All right,
do
let's
you
do
have
another...
a lot of... No, let me ask you this. This is okay. important. Do you have a lot of dogs at your office? Because Mark said that his is mostly cats.
We have a lot of dogs, yeah.
That's nice. Okay. I just had that curiosity.
Vanellope's bored. When you say a lot of dogs, you mean like we see a lot of dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah. We see a lot of dogs. We see a lot of cats, too. I mean, it's the biggest ones that we see.
Well, he said that they were like, it was like very few dogs and mostly cats.
No, we get a lot of, I think it's probably close to 40%, 40%. And then the other 20% is just a mixture of other.
Do you get a lot of birds?
We get some birds. We've had a couple of like old macaws, some like really cool parrots. Like they're actually cool. We've had a lot of like lizards, turtles, other reptiles.
Did you get a chinchilla?
We have had chinchillas.
They're so soft.
There was a ferret that was hospitalized the other day.
I'm sad for that ferret because I'm sad for animals, but I don't like a ferret because it's a furry snake. And I don't like that.
I think that's cool. I think furry snakes are cool. I think regular snakes are cool.
Michael loves ferrets and snakes.
I would love to have a ferret, but Jessica is like hard no on that. And it's not a hill that I'm willing to die on. There's other things. Like, I will be getting another dog next year. Like, that's a hill I'm dying on. And
that's
I don't care. What? Vanellope will be trained by then. It'll be perfect.
Will it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll see you guys in just a second after this break, and then we'll start with everyone's favorite segment.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.